So we left off yesterday with the assumption that at least many of the Rishonim have that Nigel Hoitzi Lo Amrinan. Why Nigel Hoitzi Lo Amrinan? We don't really know, but the fact that Nigel Hoitzi Lo Amrinan seems to be borne out by a few different sugyas. So according to some Rishonim, according to the Rivam, that's ultimately what's underlying our sugya. That's the reason why Nigel doesn't work in our sugya. According to the other Rishonim, it's a machlekes amaroyim in Baba Basa Lamed Beis and the Gachin Balachis sugyas, but it comes out Lamaskana that in effect Nigel Hoitzi Lo Amrinan. So we have good reasons to believe that Nigel Hoitzi, in fact, Lamrin. We may have good reasons, not absolute reasons. There are Rishonim question, but again, we're working right now with the assumption that Nigel Hoitzi Lamrin. We don't know yet why, but that's assuming that's the premise. The problem is we have two Gemaras in Maseches Ketubos, actually one Mishnah, one Gemara, that seemed to throw out the question, that premise. One was the sugi about Sitroi, that seemed to be the big talk of the town this morning. There's a lot of talking about Sitroi, that's always good. It's always good to hear the guys schmoozing away in the Beis Medrash about the sugi. It's always good. Gevaldik, Volterra. Then you also have the Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Ketubos about Kasher Estani Nenasti, which also seemed to be invoking the principle of Amigo in order to enable the woman to collect her Ksuba. So we had two sugyas and Ksubas that seemed to point in the direction that Migel Hoitzi Kein Amrinan. That's what we left off yesterday. So comes Tosfos in Maseches Bava Basra and at least addresses one of these sugyas. Comes Tosfos and addresses the question of Sitron. Frek Tosfos Kasha, at the end of Tosfos Lamed Beis Amud Beis, we're trying to sell you the story that Migel Hoitzi L'Amrinan. What about the case of Sitroi? Zoktesis, one word. This is not called the Migel Hoitzi because of the presence of a what? What's our favorite word? Shtar. Since the person has a shtar, therefore, that's not called L'Hoitzi. So again, you just read this Tosfos at face value. I can hear that. It's not a bad svara. After all, Migel Hoitzi means I'm going into your pocket and taking away your money. We're invoking Migo, I'm taking away your talus. I have no shaykhus the other here for this talus, I'm taking away your talus. Or Migel Hoitzi in Baba Basra, I'm taking away your land maybe, or taking away your money, whatever the case may be. Here, I ought not have the money already. I have a shtar, a sign sealing the limit. I have the shtar in my hands already. So it could be that's not called Hoitzi. So I can hear that svar. Let me svar, Tosfos is not bad. That the presence of a shtar creates the status of no longer being labeled as Lahaitzi. Now, the truth is that Taisim of Avassal on the base doesn't address the other sugya in Ksubas. Taisim doesn't quote the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Ksubas, but L'Ora, we can extrapolate from Taisim and say, well, if the Shtari answer works for Ksubas Pehei, for Sitroi, why shouldn't it work for Ksubas Taf, whatever, what Taf was that? Yibbeis, wasn't it? Yibbeis, okay, good guess. Why shouldn't it work for Ksubas Taf, Yibbeis? So we have two Gemaras in Ksubas, both of them are seem to throw into question the issue of Migel Hoitzi. One was Sitroi, hey, one was Ksuba, case of Mishir Astar, and Nenas, and Daf Yud Beis. Lamai said both of them involve a Shtar. So Mestama, if you would have asked the Bali HaTosfos, what's the answer to the question from Daf Yud Beis? Mestama, they would say the same answer. Mestama, yeah, or Mestama, no. Maybe there's a tremendous chilik between the two. Now again, we don't really know. We don't have Ruach HaKedesh. It's hard for us to go into the minds of Tosfos how they address the sugya Daf Yud Beis because they don't raise the question. We're guessing that Mestama, if they would have raised the question, then they would have given the same answer, Shtar. Not necessarily. Just because Shtar is not called the Migel Hoitzi and Daf Pehei doesn't necessarily mean it's not called the Migel Hoitzi and Daf Yud Beis. There's a tremendous distinction between the two cases. What's the difference, right? This is a Shtar, this is a Shtar. I have a Shtar and I have a Shtar. Well, it was a ksuba. Okay. What do we call that? One's a shtar chayv and one's a ksuba. What do we call that? What, three words, guys? Come on. True but irrelevant, okay? That's one of our favorite phrases for the new guys. True but irrelevant. Whenever you speak about differences between things, so you have to zero in on what's an important difference, what's not an important difference. Apples and oranges are different, okay? One's red, one's orange. But that difference may be irrelevant. So a ksuba and a shtar chayv, the fact that one's under a chuppah, you know, people are singing Yod Yishama, and the other's a guy borrowing money, that's irrelevant. What's the real difference? What's a marked difference between the case of Sitroi and the case of ksubas, Daf Yud Beis, that could potentially throw out the question whether the answer of shtar could change the dynamics, make it no longer Migel Hoitzi? Rabbi, I'll challenge you. Every time there's a shtar present, that's automatically not called Lahoitzi. The presence of a shtar makes it not called Lahoitzi? Who's going to ask me a kasha? Who's going to ask me a kasha? Just the mere fact there's a document here sitting on the table, that makes it not Lahoitzi? What kind of late sonnus is that? Lama Beis and Mavasra. Isn't the case of Mavasra a case of a shtar? Isn't that a joke? What's Taisus telling a story? Taisus and that Baba Basra's mamash pulled the wool over your eyes. Taisus said, oh, there's a shtar. Whenever there's a shtar, everything's different. Shtar breaks all the rules. Shtar is Nishkan Migal Haiti, yeah? Good morning. You never learned Baba Basra and Daflam Abayz. Taisus are written in Daflam Abayz and Baba Basra. The case of Baba Basra is a shtar. What's the answer? The answer is it's a joke kasha. It's a leitzanis that kasha. Why is it leitzanis that kasha? Because the shtar is what's goof in question over here. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out. Whether there is a shtar, there's no shtar here. There's a questionable shtar in front of us. There's a shtar shel sheker in front of us. So just the fact that there's a piece of paper on the table, that doesn't make it into a shtar. It's got to be halachically a shtar. In the case of Sitroi, there was a shtar here. There is a shtar here. The guy, both parties admit the shtar is kosher. The loivet never questioned the validity of the shtar. What's the loivet questioning? The Levi says I paid it back, but the Levi never said the shtar is a shtar mezuyof. So there's no din Torah on the kashas of the shtar. The din Torah is whether the shtar is still enforceable because maybe it was paid back. So that's what Tosfos said. A shtar present is not called a migel hoitzi. And Baba Basra daf lamed beis, there's a piece of paper on the table, but it may not be a kosher shtar. So based on those two guidelines, then ksubis in the case of Sitroi, the shtar is present and the shtar is kosher l'chol hadeis. Where does Ksuba Stafi Deis fit into the picture? What is Ksuba Stafi Deis? It's a Ksuba, but what does it say in the Ksuba? It says she's a what? It says she's a Basula. It says he has to pay 200 zuz, and that's exactly what he's questioning. He's saying, wait a second, this is a star sheker. My claim in Beis is that, yes, it's true, it's not a Shemezuyev. It's not as bad as Baba Basra Lavlam Beis. Baba Basra Lavlam Beis is a disaster. Because the Lafi Divriha, Tiveya, it's not considered to be a shtar altogether. So according to one person, the shtar is mamish dvarim b'teilim. But in Ksubas, Daf Yud Beis, the shtar is also being thrown into question. Because Lafi Divrei the Baal, the shtar is a shtar sheker. Because it says Besula, she's Nishka Besula. I kind of that she was Nivola before the Eretzin. So we're very, very weary. If we want to answer the question, one fell swoop and say that, well, the presence of a shtar, that changes everything. Shtar, 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 that solves the world's problems. Migel Haitzi, just because Taisus said it in the case of Sitroi, we're not so sure that we could be setting Ksubas Heavy Beis. Maybe, maybe no. It's not as bad as Baba Basra Lama Beis. Because Baba Basra Lama Beis, it's Mamash Shtar Mezuyah. It's Mamash nothing, dude. It's a piece of garbage. In Ksubas Tafi Beis, the Baal admits, I wrote the shtar, I authorized the shtar, I thought it was a good shtar, and we sang under the chuppah, we had a bedekin, and the whole thing looked like it was okay, and then it turns out, maybe the Kenzayin, there's a little bit of a sheker in the shtar. So, we don't know, it's hard to tell. So we have three shtaras on the table. We have Baba Basra Lama Beis, which is bechlal not exist, there's no shtar present, Tapi Aloha. We have Ksubas Pehei, where there is definitely a shtar, l'chol adeis, and now we have Ksubas Tafi Beis, where the shtar is a little bit shaky, a little bit iffy. So we're not so convinced that Taisa's answer by Sitroi is going to carry out for Ksubas Tafi Beis. But Rabbi said, we're not going to lose sleep over this kasha. We have much more serious kashas to lose sleep over. What's the much more serious kasha? Whether Taisa's answer in Daf Pehei ultimately solves the problem of Tafi Beis doesn't interest me right now. But Taisa's did use it to solve Pehei. Taisva said the presence of a shtar solves the world's problems. Whatever there's a shtar, it's not called migel hoitzi. Anyone understand that? You think that's true? You let Taisva just pull this over you. You read Taisva daf lamed beis and you just believed it. Just say, what? Amuna. Amuna is chachamim. How did you let Taisva pull this over you? Why should that be called not a migel hoitzi? How do you define migel hoitzi? Tell me, what does it mean? Migel Lahotzi mi day what? Mi day muchzak, right? Didn't we speak about this yesterday? A migel against the cheskes marakama, maybe that's not called the migel Lahotzi. But a migel against the cheskes mamad, against the mitzvah lever raya, against the muchzak, that is the determining feature whether something is called a migel Lahotzi or not. So I ask you, Rabbi Say, if I have a shtar that says that you owe me $100, who's the muchzak on the money? Well, who's the muchzak on the money? The Baal Hashtar, the guy who's holding on to the shtar, or the guy's got the cash in his pocket? Who's the muchzak on the money? Good guess. Chalik is doing who? How do you guys know that? Wasn't the Mamre Kremes? Wasn't on the Mamre Kremes? Rue. Okay. We don't need Mamre Kremes, you just took the Rue. So Rabbi said, if you just read the Taisus at face value, Taisus is telling a story that the existence of a shtar changes everything. The existence of a shtar makes it no longer a migal haitzi. What l'chayir at Taisus is saying is that the only way to make any sense out of Taisus is to say that in the presence of a shtar, the muchzuk is labeled as the baal shtar. The baal shtar is the muchzuk, not the baal hakesef, not the person who has the cash right now. The only way to make any sense out of Taisus is to come to that conclusion. Because otherwise, what do you mean it's not called the migal? Of course it's called the migal haitzi. So is Taisus telling us that? Taisus is telling us such a radical statement that whenever you have any shayla hukhashtaras, who's the muchzuk in a shtar? The muchzuk, whenever you have a case of a shtar, is the baal hashtar? Is that true? So the answer is, that's far from the truth.
Can it just be that it's the shtar that's extracting the money, not the actual miga?
The shtar is extracting the money. That's what we're being down on the shtar. We have a suffix where the shtar is effective anymore.
No, but I'm not saying, believe me when I say this, because we're not using the migo to
take. Of course, you're using the migo. The shtar itself. I would just gave a hodos bal din. The shtar it was already paid up.
The migo was for the other payment.
Migo, you're Ramban. You're already in the Ramban. You're already being doichel. I'm talking about Taisus. Taisus said the presence of a shtar makes it no longer migo haitzim, right? Okay. So we read this Taisus and we stop. We say, wait a second. That's what Taisus meant to say. But there's a gemara in Masechta Saita that doesn't seem to say that. The Mishnah in the Gemara, Masechet Saita, presents if anything as a machlokes atanoim, machlokes in Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about the following shaila. Whenever you have a suffix in Uchash Shtaris, we're not sure whether the shtar is supposed to be paid or not supposed to be paid. What do you do? So you follow the rules of suffix mammon. But who's the muksak? So Beis Shammai says, you know who the muksak is? The muksak is the person who's holding onto the shtar. You know why? Because Beis Shammai subscribes to the following klal. What's it called? Shtar ha'emet ligveis kigavli dami. A shtar that's written up, it's signed, sealed, delivered, it looks like it's payable, it's as if it's already been paid. It's as if the baal shtar is holding on to the money. Shtar ha'emet ligveis kigavli dami. And Beis Hillel say nothing doing. There is no such principle, shtar ha'emet ligveis kigavli dami. Why in the world is that machlekes in Masechet Saita? That sounds like it should be in Baba Basra, it should be in Ksuvus. What's it doing in Masechet Saita? So the answer is that the Mishnah quotes machlekes Beis Shammai about the following shaila. You know, the din is a couple gets married, so the woman has a ksuba in her hands, so she's going to collect the ksuba. If the husband dies at divorce, so she's going to collect the money. Unless she does something which ruins the marriage. So what could she possibly do to ruin the marriage? A lot of things, but one possible thing she could do is to be mezana. If she's mezana, b'meizet, tachas baila, that's a grounds for losing her ksuba, there's no question about it. So what's the halacha? If we know for a fact the woman was mezana, then for sure she loses the ksuba. What if we don't know whether she was mezana? What do you mean you don't know? So there is a protocol to tell you, what do you do when you don't know whether the woman is mezana? It's called Pasha Saita. So we have some kind of a latest asafik, the kino, steer, whatever the details of Saita we're not learning right now. We have a latest asafik in front of us whether this woman was mezana. And what happens? So we're on the way to Yishalayim to be mevayer the asafik. And then what happens? The husband dies. So once the husband dies, we have no way of being mevayer the asafik anymore because the Torah says the hevia isha sishtra la koye. One of the prerequisites for chasayit is that the husband's still alive. So now we're blight the suffix. So we don't know. Forever, for the rest of eternity, we're not going to know whether this woman was actually mezana or not. So some of you may be wondering, who cares whether she was mezana? She's a surah to her husband. Her husband's dead. So my nafkamina. Nafkamina is the ksuba payable or not? Do the yerushim have to pay the ksuba or not? So the yerushim and the woman have come to a din Torah. So the husband's dead already, finished. The yerushim and the woman come to a din Torah. So the yerushim say, we're not going to pay this woman. Haksuba, she may have been mezana. We don't know. We have a latest suffix. The suffix was never nisbar. There's no way to be mevayer the suffix. We're not going to pay the money. And the woman turns around and says, no, what do you mean? I want to be paid. I claim that I wasn't mezana. So what do you do? You have a suffix woman. Yershim says she was mezana. She says she was mezana. What do you do? So it's a mechalik b'sham b'silu. So b'sham says she gets paid the ksuba. And Beis Hillel says nothing to her. She doesn't get paid the ksuba. What's the rekudas of machlekes? Comes the Gemara explains. According to Beis Shammai, shtar emet ligvos is kegavri domi. So therefore, she's the muksok. And if they want to exempt themselves from paying off the ksuba, they have to prove that way. They have to prove that she was mezana, which obviously they can't do. And according to Beis Hillel, nothing to it. According to Beis Hillel, shtar emet ligvos lav kegavri domi. Therefore, if she wants to collect the ksuba, she has to prove she wants a mezana, which she can't do. So it's a machlekes that tanoim. So what started out as a very, very technical machlekes in Uchas Saita. You learn Saita, so you think this is just a Saita machlekes. It's nothing to do with Kol Tar Kula. Then you grow up a little bit and you realize, hey, this is a major machlekes about the rules of Muchzak. Who is Muchzak whenever there's a presence of Ishtar? So we, of course, follow the Pesach of Beis Hillel. So we who follow Beis Hillel, we hold the Shtar Ami Likvois is Lav Kigovli Domi. And therefore, Who is the ultimately the muchsok in a case of a shtar? Ultimately, the person the shtar is written against is still the muchsok on the money. If that's the case, that the person the shtar is written against is still the muchsok on the money, so then in the rules of migel haitzi, should the presence of a shtar affect whether that's called migel haitzi? What's the absolute answer? It should make no difference whatsoever. There should be no reason in the world why the presence of a shtar should affect, should label it anything more than a regular plane of Migul Haitzi. According to the world of Bishamai, maybe it's not called the Migul Haitzi, but according to the way we pass like Bishilil, Shtar Amen Libas is Lafka Gavri Dami, why in the world should the shtar's presence make it not Migul Haitzi? Unless one wants to get really, really fancy, very razzle-dazzle, and start to present that there are different guidelines, different parameters for what's called Lahaitzi than what's called Motzbech Ve'el of Haraya. Then you have to really, really start to invent new categories in halacha and start to say, well, in hilchas safik mamon, so then the Baal HaShtar is not considered to be the muchsuk. But in hilchas migel haitzi, then the rules change. Wow, you really, really got to be smart to do that. Who tries to do that? Yeah, before Ketzayis, even. There's a Tshuvas HaRamban that tries to do that. Tries. Printed a Tshuvas HaRashba. There's a series of tshuvas in the back of the Rashba, the tshuvas of Yichasas the Ramban. I don't know exactly who wrote those tshuvas, but the ma'aseh, the bottom line is such a possibility exists, but very, very hard to understand. If you'd ask me what the pshat is in such a chiluk, I don't really understand it. So, notwithstanding the Heilige Balei Taisus, what Taisus says in Bava Basa Lamebeis, this is not the popular approach. This is a very, very difficult approach to sell, this idea that the presence of the shtar somehow changes everything. So again, getting back to our story. So we have, starting out, we're learning about Metziyat Daf Beis Amud Aleph. But Metziyat Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Zok Derivam, Migul Haitzi Le'amrinut. Half the Rishonim learn, that's Bechlek is Rabbi Rav Yosef, if we pass Ke Migul Haitzi Le'amrinut. We have two Gemaras that seem to throw out the question. Two Ksigis from Ksubas that seem to say Migul Haitzi Kein Amrinut. So Taisus ignores them. Taisus says, nah, shtar, don't worry about it. There's a shtar present. Now again, Taisus themselves never really asked the question of Daf Yud Beis. But even the question of Tehei that Taisus gives an answer to is very, very difficult to understand. So we're going to have to veer away from the Taisus and Bava Basa Lama Beis. We're going to have to look for other approaches, other ways to have our cake and eat it. We want to hold on to Migul Haitzi Le'amrinan. We like the Rivam. It's an easy chat in our sugya. And the T is the Migul Haitzi Le'amrinan. But we don't want to go the route of Taisus that Shtar somehow changes everything. So we have to look really, really carefully at these two Gemaras to see, is there anything else that we can possibly explain away these two Gemaras with? So this is a stylistic kind of a question. Whenever you have a yesod, okay, you have a certain yesod you want to defend. Migul Haitzi Le'amrinan, that's your approach to life. That's what you think the world's based on. Migul Haitzi Le'amrinan. And then you have things that contradict that. You have a kash over here, and a kash over here, a kash over here. So there are two different ways to how to approach that. So sometimes in life, and sometimes in learning a sugya, so you go for one underlying premise. You look for one yesod to show what all the exceptions to the rule, by all the Gemaras that are contradicting you, can all be explained away with one simple solution. There's one thing that can explain away everything. That's one approach. That's how Taisus seemed to go. Shtar answers everything. Yeah, it's not the shtar here and the shtar there. It's all the same answer. There's one way to explain away everything. Then there's another logical way approach. What is that? What's the other logical approach? You got to look at each case and say, yeah, Migul Haitzi Le'amrinan, but there's some other factor present in Ksuba Staf Pehei that's a monkey wrench that throws things off a little bit. A Ksuba Staf Yebeis, there's something else. The Ksuba Pehei and Yebeis might do with each other. They're in the same Sechta, they're 70 almost plot apart. They have nothing to do with each other. The fact that it happens to be that Migul Haitzi and Daf Pehei and Migul Haitzi works in Daf Yebeis are for two totally different reasons. So there's no uniform answer, there's no underlying premise that's explaining away all the exceptions to the rule. You got to chisel away, you got to work here, and you got to chop away there, you got to chop away there. So again, these are two very, very different ways of approaching sugyas. Havdil, that's a medicine, right? Got it a lot. So as you come up with a theory, okay? So let's see, you're looking at a patient, you look at all the symptoms, you develop a theory, and you think the person is suffering from the following. The problem is that there are a couple of symptoms that don't seem to fit into the picture, right? I don't know, you figure it out. The guy shouldn't have a headache, he shouldn't have a toe for blown up. I don't know, whatever it is. Whatever, he's got a half a dozen symptoms that don't seem to fit the general diagnosis. So you can take one of two approaches. So you can take an approach that, well, maybe the three different approaches. My theory is wrong. That's one possibility. Maybe I have to reinvent the wheel. Got to look at the whole case over again. That's sometimes the case. That's some Rishonim talk that did that. But that's one approach. We're not going to work the approach. No, I'm sticking to my guns. My theory is right. My diagnosis is correct. There are a few quirks that aren't fitting into the picture. So either I come with some unifying theme why this person happens to also have X, Y, and Z, or whatever the other conditions that he has, and there's one answer that explains everything, or I could chip away and say, well, you want to know why his head hurts? That's for a different reason. You want to know why his foot hurts? That's for another reason. You want to know why his stomach's bad? I'll explain away everything based on 15 other things, but my theory is the same. So again, three different halachim in life. Either you reject the theory, right? That's one simple approach. The whole theory is dead wrong. Or if you want to stick to the theory, you have to explain away the other facts. So either you look for a unifying theme, or you look to chip away. Right? That's what happens. You do that. Okay, yeah. So anyway, but you do this kind of stuff, right? Okay. Yeah. Same line of reasoning, right? Same, okay, good. Torah Mada through and through. Okay, good. So we're all down pat here. Okay. So Rabbi say, although Tosfos tried the unifying approach of Shtar, other Rishonim went in a different direction. Other Rishonim said, no, you gotta look at Ksubas Daf Pehei really carefully, look at Ksubas Daf Yud Beis really carefully and see why those two Gemaras, each for their own set of circumstances, don't undermine that premise of Migul Haitzel Amrin.
Tosfos didn't necessarily say a unifying thing, he just only answered about one.
Right, it's Tosfos, we stole Tosfos, right? It's us on piggybacking on the backs of Tosfos, right? Right, correct. In Okanami. So we'll call it the Tosfos, the YU shot of Tosfos, okay? So Rabbi say, comes the Ramban and looks at the sugya of Sitaroi and says, you know, we can come to many, many different conclusions about Sitaroi. Some Rishonim said, aha, Sitaroi, is that in Fadoi? You see from here the Migul Hoitzi Amrina. Tosfos said, ah, Sitaroi, you see when there's a shtar, that's not called the Migul Hoitzi. Zuck the Ramban, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong completely, says the Ramban. Sitaroi, Subis Pehei, is irrelevant to our discussion. Sitaroi is not an example, it's not an application of Migul Haitzi. Why not? Says Ramban, very simple. There are two different sums of money that are under question in the sugya of Sitaroi. Remember the case from yesterday, right? I paid you back what I thought was the choy, and then you're holding on to the shtar, and you're claiming along another story that there's another milvah baper from 20 years ago. So our initial reaction was, I'm using amigo to get money out of your pocket. Money that I otherwise wouldn't be entitled to. There's $100 in your pocket. I'm going to use Migo to get that $100. So it's about that's not at all what's happening. B'chlal not. How am I going to get the $100 out of your pocket? Have a shtar. It says you owe me $100. What am I using Migo for? To hold on to the $100 that's in my pocket already. I got the $100 out of you already. Your first $100 is sitting in my pocket. But how can I hold on to the $100? What right do I have to hold on to? I'm claiming that I want to hold on to the $100 because you borrowed $100 from me last year. I don't have any proof of that whatsoever. There's no shtar to that. There's no aid in that. There's nothing. That is something. It's my word against yours. So my word against yours, I should give you back the $100. What do you mean? Ugh, you're holding on to the $100. What's the answer? I have amigo. I'm using amigo, invoking amigo, not to be mighty $100 from you. That I got a shtar for. I don't need amigo for that. I'm using Migo to enable me, to permit me to hold on to $100 that anyways in my pocket. That, Rabbi Yisrael, is not called the Migo L'Hoitz, that's called the Migo L'Wat. Lifto, L'Hachzik, that's called the Migo L'Hachzik, Migo L'Hachzik, Kainam Rinam. So in one fell swoop, the Rabban said, well, the other Rishonim are wrong. This Gemara doesn't do anything. This Gemara is not talking about Migo L'Hoitzik. That's a fast one. What about Ksubas Daf Yud Beis? What do you think about Ksubas Daf Yud Beis? That's a pretty good Migo L'Hoitz, can't get more L'Hoitz than that. She's using principle of Migo to collect 200 zuz from the guy. Well, not so simple. You have to learn Ksubas Daf Yud Beis a little bit more carefully. Come to Gemara Daf Yud Beis in Ksubas and says, we know there's a machlekes atenoi between Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, but what do you do when he says, yeah, you got two people here standing in Beis then, okay? He's saying she was a Ba'ula, okay? And she's claiming what? She's saying Misha Erastani. And she's being believed that Migo what? Migo Mukasets. Okay? That's the way the Din Torah is playing out, okay? So she's saying, he's saying she's a Ula, she's saying Misha Erastani Nanasti. So before the Gemara introduced the Migo, the Mishnah doesn't say what the Machlek is about. The Mishnah doesn't explain why she's believed. The Mishnah just says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, she's believed in Halakha Vasai. We pass on like those Tanoim, that she's believed. So the Gemara thought that she's believed for a totally different reason. Before the Gemara, the Mishnah doesn't say the word Migo. The word Migo never appears in the Mishnah. What did the Gemara think? Why she believed based on an entirely different principle? What was the other principle? Bar v'shema, bari adif. Because after all, in terms of these tainas, she's saying she's saying that with certainty. She can't say that with certainty. She knows exactly when it happened, so she can make a statement with certainty. He's making some kind of a conjecture. He's guessing and saying, I see it out of Basula now. I have reason to believe that you weren't a Basula when I was Makadosh in the first place. That's not Peter's Vadai. He can't take a shvua that that's the case. He doesn't know for sure. He's saying maybe. So she's a Bari, he's a Shema. So comes the Gemara and says, Bari v'Shem, Bari Adif. That makes a lot of sense. So that happens to be Machlekes Amaroyim. Is there such a principle of the Imam that's called Bari v'Shem, Bari Adif? I claim for sure you owe me $100 and you respond, I don't know. So according to half the Amaroyim, Bari v'Shem, Bari Adif, I can be Maitzi Mammon based on that. According to the other half of the Amaroyim, not Bari v'Shem, Allah, Bari Adif. So comes the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yud-Beis and says, if you hold that Bar v'Shema Bar Yadif, then I understand the Mishnah quite well. She's the Bari, he's the Shema, finished. But if you hold Bar v'Shema Lav Bar Yadif, then the Mishnah doesn't make any sense. So it's because of that question that the Gemara has to introduce what? Has to introduce the principle of Migo. It's only according to that Man D'Yomer, the Bar v'Shema Lav Bar Yadif, which we happen to Paskin like, where the Gemara has to fall back on the principle of Migo. Ad Kan Divrei Gemara Ksubas. Everyone saw the Gemara? Ksubas Daf Yud-Beis. Come a group of Rishonim and say, at the end of the day, the reason why this woman is Nemenes, Ladidon, is not really based on Amigo alone. It's not just because there's a principle of Amigo. It's really Amigo plus what? Plus a Bar v'Shema combined together that creates the ability to be Mighty Mammon. So there is no Gemara black on white. There's no Mishnah Ksubas that says Amigo Lahitzi Amrinan. What the Mishnah says is, what the Gemara interprets the Mishnah to mean, is that Migo combined with the Bar v'Shema is good enough to be Vaitzim Amon. So come some Mishnah and say, Abba Zoi, if that's the case, then this Mishnah doesn't really bear any meaning to our discussion. This Mishnah is irrelevant. This Sugin Subhashim is irrelevant. There is no Gemara that says Migo Lahitzi Aminan. What the Gemara did say is Migo plus the Bar v'Shema is Lahitzi. Good, that's a different story. That's a horse of a different color. So if you take that approach, so basically you solve the Sitroi by saying, not the root of Taisus, that it's based on a Shtar, the Taisus, the Wayu Pshat, right? Apshat, that everything is based on Shtar. No. Sitroi has its own answer based on the Ramban, and Ksubas Daf Yud Beis has its own answer based on the fact that's the combination of Migo plus a Bari, that's what's Maitzi Mama. Migo alone is not sufficient to be Maitzi Mama. So we can breathe a sigh of relief, we've solved the problem. Of course, we solved one problem, we created another much huger problem. What's the huger problem? What's this an absolute violation of? Migo plus Bari is Maitzi Mammon. Right? There you go. Guys, it really, okay, after 5 years in the shiur, we got all the lingo, okay? So when I ask this question, everyone should answer. From here on in, everyone should know the answer to this question. What Sami Shanim just told us is that Migo, which Rishon said this? Who said this? Was that the Rebbe Kaimis, no? It was in the Shita. Who said it? The Tashbitz, right? The Rashbitz, Tashbitz, Tempers, right? The Tashbitz said this, okay? If you have a Migo plus a Bari, that's Moitzi Mammon. This is a violation of arithmetic 0101. What is that? There's a klal gadol in math. What's it called? 0 plus 0 equals 1, okay? The klal gadol that the Tashbetz just told you. Okay, I guess they didn't learn math back in the days of the Tashbetz. What's he talking about? How does this work? What kind of sister Torah is this? You just got finished telling me that Migo lahaytzi alei amrinan. That means Migo can't be Maitzi Mammon. Right? That's what you just told me. You also just told me that we pass like Rav Nachman that Bar v'Shem alav Bari Adif, which is tantamount to saying that Bari can't be Maitzi Mammon. So Migo can't be Maitzi Mammon and Bari can't be Maitzi Mammon. You combine 0 and 0 together, all of a sudden Bar chabur Maitzi Mammon. So it is a very nice answer, but it conceptually, it doesn't make any sense. How does this work? What kind of game is this? So Rabbi Sai, we are really, really in a pickle here in the sugya. You know, we have, again, we're really, really holding on for dear life to this Rivam. We're trying to keep up the Rivam's Migal Hoitzi Lehrinan. We're getting very tempted to go to the root of Rabbeinu Peretz very quickly and say, yeah, Migal Hoitzi Kedemrinan, and look at the other five answers in our sugya. Again, we're not bound to Migal Hoitzi Lehrinan. Don't think that Baba Metzia Dav Beis is going to seal the deal on Migal Hoitzi Lehrinan. We got five other sugyas to go, five other halachim in the Rishonim as to why our Mishnah may not invoke Migal. But we want to give the Rivam the benefit of the doubt. We'll give him 2 days of shir at Kanfa LeYoseh. Okay, maybe Sunday for those guys to show up. Comes the... Everyone's going to be on Sunday, right? Good. Everyone's going to be on Monday? Great. Okay, good. So comes the... For me, it's great. I love when they have shiur on holidays. I love it. Because I have to tell my wife, I got to go to work. What am I going to do? If I tell, I got to go to the Brit Shmadish, you know. My wife's wonderful about that, but, you know, start to negotiate. I got to work. I got to work. What am I going to do? No choice. Okay. I always tell my kids, that my kids also, my kids have been off from camps, been over already for about 6 months already, it seems like, and school was like 10 years ago, but it's coming to the end, almost back to school. So whenever I say to them, I have to go to work, so they're already smart enough, so my little one, my five-year-old, already knows, oh, but you don't really go to work, you just want to go to the base medish. I said, no, I really go to work. The only difference that they see between the summer and the rest of the year is that I wear a tie. It's the same base medrash. I mean, different base medrash, but same tie, same everything. It's not convenient for the tie. Okay. Anyway, what are we talking about? I forgot. Yeah, we're back there. Yeah. So we want to give the Rivam time. So we want to give him the benefit of the doubt. We're trying really bending over backwards to make the Rivam happy here. But we're starting to lose confidence in the Shitas HaRivam. Because we have these two Gemaras staring at us in the face. Sitroi and the case of the Ksuba. So we thought we'd go the route of the Shtar. We weren't too excited about that. We ran into Bisham Basilol trouble. We ran into a brick wall in Sota. We got problems. Then we tried a different approach. We're trying to revamp a little bit and try to give a separate answer for Sitroi. So the Rabban pulled a good one. Okay, we like that. Then we could deal with the Ravan. But this Ksuba story really, really is very, very troubling. Migo and Bari. 0 + 0 = 1. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Oh, you're asking a whole different story. You're asking like Gabri a different story. What you really meant to say is what? Tell me what you really meant to say. That's part of the game in Shira, is that I tell you what you meant to say. Okay? That's what we do here, okay? I tell you what I want you to say. So what I want you to say, who says we don't encourage individual creative thinking in Shira? It's just I'm the one who makes up the creations. So comes the Gemara in Ksubas and says a whole different story over here. Comes the Gemara in Ksubas and says, maybe Baruch Hashem Allah Bari Adif, but here there's something else working in the woman's benefit. What is that? She has a cheskas psula. When she was born, she was a psula. When she was 3 years old, she was a psula. She was 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old. She's 20 years old, but trying to be done. So she has a chazoka that she was a psula. So now chazoka usually in and of itself is not good enough to be mitzi mamon. But maybe a migo plus chazoka, so maybe a bari plus chazoka does the trick. So you're right, that instead of making an equation bari plus migo, maybe we could have made a bari plus chazaka to be melting moment. That is true. The Gemara presents that as a possibility. The reason why I don't want to talk about that is because it's not really our sugya. We're more of a migo. We're more migo oriented. Okay? But you're right. That could potentially be part of the answer.
So maybe her chazaka is like, since she has chazaka, it's like she had them on, meaning like you were saying, but it's like she has the ksuba already.
Well, the fact that she has the ksuba, I mean, chazaka usually doesn't change things. Chazaka doesn't, is not good enough to be mighty mamon. So if you're going to tell me that shtar amal libos is lavka gabri dami, that he's really the mukzak on the cash, the fact that she has a chazaka in and of itself isn't really going to solve the problem.
Yeah, she's mukzak on the cash.
But she's not the mukzak on the cash. She has a chazaka. You're putting together two words, chazaka, which don't really mean the same thing. Chazaka has five different meanings. But it means cheskes kinyan, there's a cheskes rayan, there's a chazaka. There's a lot of different things. So you're using the term, she has a cheskes haguf of being a basula. So you said, oh, she has a chazaka, therefore she's mukhsak on the money.
She's entitled to the ksuba if at any time
she's entitled to the ksuba only if it's true that she's a basula. The only reason that we know she's a basula is because she has a chazaka, that she's a basula. Right. But being that's a chazaka meikar. Chazaka meikar usually is not good enough to be mighty mammon. Okay? So Rabbi Sai, we now have two goals ahead of us. We have a limited goal and a much grandiose, much more all-encompassing goal. A very, very limited goal is to try to make some sense out of what's on this board, this equation that's very troubling. But that's really one small corner of the board. Rabbi said we spent a lot of time the last day and a half on Migo Lahoitzi. We brought rayas from the Gemara for against. We had kashas, terutzim, good terutzim. Difficult terutzim, dichukim, we're trying to figure out. For Rabbi Sai, we spent a significant amount of time on the what of the sugya. We haven't even begun to discuss the what, the why of the sugya. So maybe we take a step back, instead of getting so bogged down in the whats and the rayas, if we take a step back and we ask ourselves the most basic fundamental question of the entire sugya, why should Migo Lahoitzi learn me? What's wrong with Migo Lahoitzi? Maybe, not only will it shed some light on the whole picture, but it may even help us in this little equation at the end. So So the Yeshua Baisai, let's start this again over again. Forget everything we know. We don't really forget it. Put it on the back burner. If I would stop and I'd ask you, Miga Lahaitzi? What's wrong with it? Miga, it's Gabalda. Miga's the greatest thing in the world. Why can't it work to the Lahaitzi moment? How would you begin to analyze that question? You have to know two things in order to answer that question. Why can't Amigo be Maitzi Mammon? You have to first of all know what Amigo is, how the mechanics of Amigo is. And number two, you would have to understand, well, what criteria are necessary to be Maitzi Mammon. Okay? So we'll take the second question first. We'll be the goal of a Pirkei Avos, we'll answer the second question first. What criteria are necessary to be Maitzi Mammon? Sum it up in one line. What level of proof, what burden of proof is necessary to be Motzi Mamon? What's the answer? A Motzi Vel of Araya. I have to bring Araya. Define for me what Araya is. What does a proof mean? What kind of a proof? There are multiple different levels of proof in Halacha. There are sometimes there two Eidim are necessary to prove things. Sometimes, let's say, anyone ate breakfast today? Anyone ate lunch today? Mm-hmm. What do you for lunch today?
Salmon.
Okay. How do you know the salmon was kosher? Who told you it's kosher? Where do you eat today?
The calf.
In the calf. Okay. So, who told you the food was kosher? I mean it real seriously. What's the answer? The answer is Mashkiach told you it's kosher. Right? Okay. Can you just believe them just like that? Just because it's on your YU cap card, you just assumed that it was kosher? So the answer is you were relying on what level of proof? Rof. You were relying on Eidach and Bisurin, right? You were relying on Gittin Daf Beis. The Gemara says in the realm of Issa V'Heter, Eidach and Bisurin. One witness is sufficient. Okay? Right? Okay, we won't pick on you for eating salmon. Anyone eat chicken last night? Ru, you ate chicken last night at home? What? Of course you ate. What? It's Wednesday night, so there's still leftover chicken from Shabbos, right? <That's the chef. laughs> Come on, you don't have to be embarrassed. I've married longer than you. I know what the hell is going on. Okay. Oh, you weren't even home for Shabbos.
Right.
Oh, that's okay. You brought the leftovers from Argentina with you. Okay. So everybody say, you ate chicken. Good. Who told you chicken's kosher? Your wife told you chicken's kosher. Who told you where she goes shopping? Where'd you buy chicken?
Aaron's kosher.
Aaron, who told you? Who told Aaron? Mr. Aaron told you it's kosher. How do you know it's kosher? So the answer is, if you continue the chain of command all the way back, you fall back on the principle called the Eidach Nebisirin. So you see that that's a level of proof. The Torah says I have to eat kosher food, so I have to come to the Yom Adin. The Rosh Hashanah is coming in 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks. We're going to stand on the Kisei HaKovod, and the Boshel is going to ask, how do you know the chicken's kosher? I'm going to tell you, my level of proof is Eidach Nebisirin. Sometimes there are other levels of proof that are necessary in Halacha. Sometimes you require to aid them. Let's say, we want to know, did the person commit an act of Ritzicha or not? So when Eidechad comes and says, I saw Reuven kill Shimon, what do we say? Well, you must be Eidechad. The Torah says, no, you can eat chicken based on Eidechad, but you can't kill a person based on Eidechad. So obviously, within the Torah HaKadosh, there are different levels of proof that are necessary. How much proof is necessary in the realm of Dinei Mamonos? What's the answer? We just read a Parshas Kisoftim, that the level of proof necessary to be Maitzi Mamonos is Apishnai Meidim Yochum Dover. Sometimes we have levels of proof that are not in the realm of Eidus B'chlal. It's not two Eidim, not one Eid, it's neither of the two. Sometimes you have another level of proof in Halacha. What's that called? Okay, we'll ask you another question. Who here drank milk today? Anyone had milk today? Who had a cup of milk today? You had a cup of milk today?
Milk and coffee.
I'm going to ask you a very simple question. How dare you have a cup of milk? No one should take this out of the context. We're not addressing any issues about different shitas of different people about milk. This is off the record. This is a discussion that was made 50 years ago. You had a cup of milk today. I'm going to ask you a very, very pointed question. The cow that produced that milk, would you like to prove to me it didn't have a hole in its stomach? How do you know? Who told you it didn't have a hole in its stomach? I'm willing to tell you there's a chance that it had a hole in its stomach. So there's a possibility. So what right did you have to drink the milk? What's the answer? Rov, right? The Gemara Maseches Chulin says that you have a rov. What's the pasuk? Achiram lahatas. Says Gzeres Hakosav Achiram lahatas. You follow rov. the Isak of Leisik one. Exciting times, not for now. So you have a roiv. So roiv is a standard of proof also, because otherwise, how can I drink milk? It's chol of treifa. It's also ben Torah. So the answer is you drank the milk based on the principle of roiv. Is roiv work to be mitzi mama? Can I take the principle of roiv and use it to be mitzi mama? So what's the answer to that question? No, we should say it with such force, but it's machlekes who knew. It's machlekes Rav and Shmuel. So Rav said, well, wait a second. If roiv works to be mafia to drink milk, then you could use roiv to be mitzi mama. Mali sur mali mamona. That's Rav Shita. And Kum Shmuel says no. In holchin b'mamon achah roiv. Famous statement of Shmuel, beginning of third pechah of Kama, beginning of sixth pechah of Basra. Kiyaz lina basaruba the isura vav mamona loz lina basaruba. Famous statement of Shmuel. We pass on like Shmuel. Ein holchin mamon achah roiv. Rabbi say, I gave you an example of rov. Rov is, the odds are that the milk that you drank is probably not metatrefa. How do we know that? We look around animals and we get a sense that most animals are not dropping dead from holes in their stomach. Most animals are probably kosher. And therefore we have a 95% chance that the milk is kosher. That's a rov. Okay? What do you think about the following rov? It's not a biologic rove. Nothing to do with holes in stomachs. It has to do with psychological roves. We're going to analyze people's lying habits. We're going to analyze when are people telling the truth and when are people lying. So we took a study and we surveyed and we look around. We see the way people work. We know the way people tick. We know the way people like to maneuver in life. The odds are, there's a pretty good chance that if a person had a lie, they would come forward with the best possible lie, the lie that looks best in their favor. If a person makes a statement in Beis Din that isn't so glatt, isn't so perfect, isn't so ay-ay-ay, and he could have easily lied and said something that was much more convincing, the odds are that he's probably, what? Telling the truth. Comes the halacha, and you know what we call that? You know what we call that psychological survey? We call it ego. Migo means that we made a survey, I mean not a real survey, we kind of looked around, we hear, we see, we analyze people, and we come to the realization that most people who want to lie would like to lie straight out. If you wanted to lie, to deny a claim, what you would have said is very simple. You would have said, I don't owe you the money, I didn't borrow the money from you. You wouldn't have told me a Megillah, I borrowed the money, but your animal ate my tomatoes last month. You wouldn't have given this wild cuckoo story. From the fact that you could have lied much easier, and now you're telling us something which is strange, that in and of itself constitutes a roiv in halacha. That's what migo means. If that is the case, if we are correct that we have just created a new equation on the board called migo equals roiv, if that is true, that migo in fact equals roiv, then we can begin to understand what principle. Why Migal Hotzi L'Amrinan? Migal Hotzi L'Amrinan, Rabbi Yisai, is the corollary of Ein Holchin B'mamon Achah Roiv. The same way that I can't use Rov to take away your cash, I can't use Migo to take away your cash, because Migo is nothing more, nothing less than a plain and simple Rov. So that's one mahalach as to why Migal Hotzi L'Amrinan. If that is correct, if it's true, it's a big if, if it's true that the reason why Migal Ha'itz Yaloi Amrina is because Ein Holchin B'mamon Achah Roiv, there may be an exception. There may be a possible exception to Migal Ha'itz Yaloi Amrina. Within Roiv, there are different dagas, there are different levels of Roiv. There are what we call Roiv Garuas, and what we call Roiv Boris. Roiv Garua, you're 51%, you're right over the top, it's Bekoshi Roiv, that's one type of Roiv. Then you have other roves which are really, really convincing. Now, api halacha, das is a rove and das is a rove. But there are differences between the two. There is a tosis, the beginning of Masechet Sanhedrin, that suggests that Ein Holchin B'mamon Achah Roiv may not be the end of the story. It may not be absolutely true in every case of rove. Says tosis, yesh v'yesh. There are some roves that are not as convincing. And there are some super duper roves that are very, very convincing. Please don't ask me now to tell you how do you know you have one versus the other, because it's a hard question to answer. We don't have to answer that question right now. But we just have in our back pocket that Tosa suggests the possibility that Ein Ochel Mamon Acharov is not an absolute. If so, if we reach the point where a rove is not just a rove, but it's a rove bari, it's an all-encompassing, phenomenal rove, something which is really, 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 really convincing to us, that may tip the scales, tip the balances, and enable us to be Metzi Mamon based on such a rove. Rabbi Sai, I'm going to make another radical statement over here. Bari v'shem alav bari adif. You can't use bari v'shem to be Metzi Mamon. Why not? I'm telling you for sure you owe me the money. And you're saying, I don't really know. What do you think the odds are? If I'm certain and you're not sure, what are the odds of who's telling the truth? The guy who's Bari is probably telling the truth. So why doesn't it work? Why can't Bari and Shem, why can't Bari be my Tzimamun? What's the answer? It's also a rave. So guess what, Rabbi Zayn? We have another equation on the board. Bari is also merely a rove. He's probably right. And it's possible that the Mekudas and Achloikas between the Amoroim, half the Amoroim said that Bar Vishem a Bari Adif, and the other one said Bar Vishem a La Bari Adif, you can't be Matzi Mamon, may just be a restating of what Machloikas? Of whether Holchim Mamon Acharov or not. It may be the same Machloikas Rav and Shmuel, just presenting itself in different terms. There's one underlying principle here. Is do you follow Rav to be Matzi Mamon, or do you not follow Rav? Is Rav the same as Yisurim, or is there some new category called Enochim Mamon Acharov? That may be the same machloikis, just being couched in different terms. If what we're saying is correct, that the chisaron of migo to be mighty mammon is really ultimately a chisaron of rov, and the chisaron of bari to be mighty mammon is really only a chisaron of rov, we may be able to make some sense out of this equation. Is migo a nothing? Would you say migo is worthless? Migo is meaningless? No, I wouldn't say that. I would say migo on itself falls shy of the threshold of a rove, enabling us to be Maitzi Mamon. We pass like Shmuel, Enoch HaMamach HaRov. So migo on its own 2 feet is not a sufficient rove. Bari on its own 2 feet is also not a sufficient rove. But if a person has a migo and a bari together, that's much more powerful. The odds are very much stacked in his favor that he is telling the truth. And perhaps a combination of two weak roves may combine together to equal one what? Very powerful rove. I have two reasons. Again, each one in themselves falls shy of being Metzi Mamon. But if I combine the two together, I may be in business. Migo can't be Metzi Mamon by itself because it's a rove. Bari can't be Metzi Mamon by itself, it's a rove. But if I have a Migo plus a Bari, then I have what's called an Halacha. Migo plus a Bari equals a rove, super duper rove. It's a rove. Starred robe, it's a great robe, it's a robe bari, it's a phenomenal robe. Maybe it can be Matzi Mamon. So perhaps that's what the Tashbetz is referring to. Perhaps. So Rabbi Sai, whether we solve this technical problem over here as a possibility, maybe, but at least what we for sure did was we opened up the possibility as to why Migavotzi Lamrina. Notwithstanding all the rias back and forth, but Vasub, but Matziah, Subas, all the rias back and forth, at least we have a mahalach as to why Migavotzi Lamrina. Migel Haiti Lerminan may be the halachic equivalent, the halachic corollary of Enochim Mamon Acharov. So we may have three principles on the board that all equal each other. In Holchin, the Mamon Acharov equals Migel Haiti Lerminan, which in turn equals what? Bari Vishema, what? Thought I heard a lot there. Lav Bari Adif. This may all be one and the same. These three principles may all be the same principle. Okay? So at least we have a mahalach. We have an approach to Migel Haitzi Lamrina. But we're not satisfied yet. We're not satisfied that this is the only approach. This approach, that the, ultimately the reason why Migel Haitzi Lamrina is because Enochim Mamon Acharov is of course working with an assumption. What was the assumption? In order for all of this to be true, which equation has to be right? Migo equals rho. We made up that equation 10 minutes ago. Is there any other way of explaining what Migo is all about? So there is another way. There's another approach to Migo which may take us in a totally different direction. So let's forget everything we have on the board. Forget it, Migo being a row. Forget Ruba Ein Hochel Mamrach Harov. Forget all that. I'll give you another approach why Migo works, and part of that approach why Migo Hoytzi Le'emrino. Part two. Imagine the following Din Torah. Okay? I come up to you and I say, Nachi, you owe me $100. You borrowed $100 from me last week. You owe me $100. The Nachi could respond in many, many different ways, right? Again, if I have a shtar, he's gonna be a pickle. But I don't have a shtar. So Nachi could either say that I never borrowed the money, he'll be a kofer kol, right? Or he could say I borrowed the money but I paid back the money. Right? A few different possibilities he can give, he can advance. And either one of those two tainos will be a kai for a kohen who's going to win the Din Torah hands down. I say to you, Nachi, I lent you $100. You know what he says? Nothing. He doesn't answer. Nachi, you didn't hear me. I lent you $100. You owe me $100. We're standing in front of Beis Din. Nachi, answer. Silence. What do you think happens next? The suspense is killing us. What do you think happens? What? I don't even know if you need a formal Shiur Kodah. You're right, but I'm not sure you need that principle. What's the answer? Bazin's going to go to him and take the $100 out of his pocket and give it to me. Why? Because there's no Din Torah here. In Hilchas Din Torah, Nachi wins. But in order to have a Din Torah, you have to have two people talking. So if I'm talking and you're not answering, the halacha, you have to answer my taina. You pick your taina, pick your response. Whatever you want to respond, someday, then we'll deal with your response. The Din Torah will be that the yada will be shekel, my taina is against your taina. Kofer HaKol will win. But you have to say something, you have to respond something. If you don't respond, so then it's nothing. But fundamentally, the only thing that Nachi has to do, he doesn't have to prove that he's right. What does he have to do? He doesn't have to prove anything. What does he have to do? He just has to say, he has to respond. That's all he's got to do. That Beis Din will be shekel whether his response is a valid enough to win the Din Torah. So Nachi responds with his famous response. What does he say? He says, yes, I buy $100 from you. But I'm not going to pay you back $100. You know why? Because your animals ate my tomatoes last week. Bad response. Right? Bad, bad response. That statement in isolation, is that a proof that Nachi's right? That proves that beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's right? You think Beis Din for the life of them believed that that my animals ate his tomatoes? Well, based on what? Based on his mishagas. He comes up with this cuckoo story about animals eating tomatoes. That's a proof? You don't prove anything. He didn't prove a thing. Kihuza. But guess what? He didn't have to prove. What did he have to do? All he had to do was respond. All he had to do was put in some kind of a response. That's all. That's all that's necessary. He responded. Do we know that he's telling the truth? We have no idea what he's telling the truth. So now what do you do? We have a Din Torah. Beis Din doesn't know whether I'm telling the truth. They don't know whether you're telling the truth. So Beis Din has a what? Has a suffix. What do you do when you have a suffix, Mamun? So was Nachi's response a proof that he's right? Mapito? Didn't prove anything. All Nachi's response was it created a Din Torah. In the absence of response, there's no Din Torah. There's no Din Torah. I say the money's mine, he doesn't say anything, so the money's mine. So the role of the Nitva is not to prove that he's right. The role of the Nitva is just merely to respond. If you look independently at that cuckoo response of your animals ate my tomatoes, that shouldn't really be a response. That in of itself shouldn't carry the day. That's where Migo comes in. Migo says, Nachi could have responded something that would have been a response. He could have said, Parati, that would have been an acceptable response. He could have said, Lo Yadvar B'Yodam, that would have been a acceptable response. He had the koyach to respond, he had the koyach to create a taina. He had, what's the word? He had a zchus hataina. He had a taina that would have held up as a taina. Not that the taina would have proven anything anyway. But he had his chus taina. He chose not to use that particular taina that we would have kind of wanted to hear. and he's giving some other cuckoo taina. Hilchas Migo declares that that which you're saying, which objectively shouldn't have been meaningful, since you had the ability, Migo, that you could have said something else that would have been a response, we're going to give you the benefit of doubt and call your response a response as well. Do we, in our wildest dreams, believe that that's what happens, actually happened? No. We have no idea what actually happened. According to this understanding, Rabbi Yisai, Migo is not a proof. Migo is not in the slightest a proof. It's a nothing Migo. Migo is not a rove. Migo is a zippo. All Migo is what the Kederi Rosh Hashiva's coined, the Schus HaTayna. Because that's all the Nitva has to do. He doesn't have to prove. It's not munach on the, it's not mutal on the Nitva to prove his case. It's just mutal on the Nitva to respond. If that's the case, that a Migo is not a proof of any shape or form, it's not a burden of proof, b'chlal, there's no relief whatsoever, it's a Schus HaTayna, how could you, in your wildest dreams, think it's going to be good to be Maitzi Mamun? To be Motzi Mamun, you don't have to open your mouth to be Maitzi Mamun, you have to prove to be Maitzi Mamun. You want to hold Rav's version of proof, you want to hold Shmuel's version of proof, you want to hold Rov, is it good proof? Not even proof, is irrelevant. But you need some level of proof to be Maitzi Mamun. Migo is not a level of proof, Migo is in nothing. Migo doesn't prove Kiyuza. Migo is a Mias Chosatayna. Of course, according to that approach, then you're not limited in scope. You don't have to put Migo into a box of Rov. You don't have to make a Tolim Achiz Rav and Shmuel. Migo, by definition, can never work Lahaiti, because Migo is a nothing. Migo is not a proof of anything. If that's the beer in Migo Lahoti Lo Aminan, it's because of the nature of Migo as being not a proof Bechlau. Of course, what equation makes no sense on the board? How is Migo and Bari going to do anything? Well, you can add Mamish 0 plus 0. If Bari is not good enough, how is Migo going to help? Migo is not a proof Bechlau. Migo is not even the Parsha to be Maitzi Mamun. So any Rishon who invoked this equation of Migo plus Bari, if he just bolstered the Migo a little bit, he just beefed the Migo up a little bit, and all of a sudden it's going to be Maitzi Mamun, any Rishon who's going that approach is not learning this Pshat Chus HaTayna. He's learning that Migo is almost there. It's up there. It's 95% there. It's just about to hit the threshold of an acceptable level of Rov. We're going to put it over the edge by throwing something else onto it. But anyone goes to Buddha's Chus HaTayna, so then this is not going anywhere. Then you're going to have to fall back on Shtar and Taisus and other Mahalchim to try to explain away what's going on with these Sugis and Sugis. So Rabbi said, when all the dust settles, what do we have? Very, very simple Sugi. All we did, what did we learn so far? From Metziah Dabbeis, right? Who here read the Mishnah Dabbeis in Metziah? What did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah didn't even say the words Migel Haitzi. The Mishnah didn't even talk about Migel Haitzi. According to 5 out of 6 prep in the Rishonim, that wasn't even on the topic. We learned the wrong Sugi, guys. According to more than row, 5 out of 6, what's the numbers? What an 80% chance that we learned the wrong sugya. Staggering odds against us as to whether this is even the topic of Dabdei Zimadalav. For Rabbi Isai, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, one guy says Kula Shali, one guy says Chetze Shali. So the Mishnah says, you go 3/4 to 1/4. Implication is, you don't have a Migo. Why don't you have a Migo? Zachter Ivam, it's a Migo Lahaitzi. Ah, Migo Lahaitzi, oh, we had to go analyze Migo Lahaitzi. Forced us to learn the whole sugya of Abbasra. Is the Sugi Mevav Asa talking about Migel Hotzi? Is it not Migel Hotzi? It's a Migel the Ibai Shasek. Well, the Rivam and the River and Mordechai, different Mahalchim in the Sugi in Mevav Asa. Which forced us to say, wait a second, Migel Hotzi Le'aminon, we have two glaring Sugis and Subas that contradict that. So we have two different approaches. Either we take the approach that Shtar solves the world's problems, but we didn't really understand that. We had a lot of problems in the Shtar Teretz. So then we went more localized that, well, Sitrai is a little bit different, and Ksubas Defi Bey is a little different, which led us to this strange equation on the bottom of the world we didn't quite understand. We took a step back and said, well, maybe let's reanalyze one Migel Hotzi Le'Aminon. So we came up with two very, very different conceptual models as to one Migel Hotzi Le'Aminon. We introduced the possibility of Enoch Mamrach Rov as being part of the story, which would be nice to explain why sometimes Migel Hotzi came to Le'Aminon. Maybe that's what's going on over here. But then we took another step back and said, well, wait a second, maybe we got the whole wrong Mahalach. Maybe Migo Lahotzi Lo Aminon, not because Migo has anything to do with Rov, maybe because of the very nature of Migo, is not even in the ballpark to be Maitzi Mamun. So we try to be Mavar a few things here and there about Migo and Migo Lahotzi and the relationship. So we have a lot of Gemaras that are starting to look, have to be pieced together. Okay, a good classic example of what we say, Kol Tarkul is one big picture. You try to learn a Mishnah Bava Metziah, you can't just learn Bava Metziah that day. You have to learn Bava Metziah through the eyes of what? How many sugars did we have to get pieced together? We have Bava Metziah Daf Beis, we have Bava Basa Daf Lama Beis, we have Ksuba Staf Yud Beis, we have Ksuba Staf Tehei. at least four sugyas, maybe even more, maybe Enoch Mamon Acharov, Bava Kama, five, six sugyas that are all pieced together. You pull the thread one way, you pull it one way, you have to figure out the whole picture, okay? So everybody say, everyone read the Mishnah? When you read the Mishnah, come on guys, what's the next line? Who here, when you read the Mishnah, and you said, oh, it's Amigo, Amigo Hosi Lomrin, great. So you just thought it would end like that? Everyone, no one figured this all out? Ruth, come on, you figure this all out. Pete, because you learned Bravas with me 3 years ago, so you figured it out. Okay, good. So this is how you have to learn the Tosis. Read the Tosis by Metzia Davbeis, you gotta read the Tosis by Metzia with your eyes to call it Tarkul. You gotta read Ksubis, you gotta read Bravas, you gotta read Bavakama, you gotta put all the pieces of the puzzle together in order to properly understand the Heilige, Heilige words of the Rivam. So Rabbi said, we only finished one solution to the problem of what happened to the Migo. We got five more to go. So we got new sugyas coming up in terms of that. So we'll stop the Gemara part now. Little words of Divrei Hazayirus, Divrei Chizuk, Divrei Chumash, whatever you want to call them. Okay. Off, on.